Hey, welcome to the Bucko Fever Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Thanks for giving me a listen today. First half of the season's over. Saw some good things and some not so good things, which is kind of like what everybody should have expected, coming into the season. I think the Pirates are pretty much right where I envisioned they'd be. I think best case scenario, you know, obviously a few more wins. But all in all, there's some progress here. There's some bright spots, some quote unquote silver linings. And we'll take a look at that. Plus, you know, we got the draft. And we'll take a look at that. Really, really like Tamar Johnson. That pick, that kid can hit. I'm really excited to see him get in here and start to develop. If you've watched any clips of him, it's a pretty sweet little swing that he has there. So, talk about the draft and take a look back and take a look forward and see what else we can expect from the Pirates coming up, because the trade deadline's coming too. So touch on much of that as I can without going too long today. But before I do that, let's have a message from Anchor. So for the first half of the season, I think it went how we most of us expected it to go. I think we saw a lot of bright spots. I have this argument like with people. They argue, the Pirates are terrible and, the record is garbage. And yeah, I mean, it's actually not that bad in the grand scheme of things compared to, other years. But like, they struggled a lot. They've been playing a lot of placeholders, waiting for these young guys. And then when the young guys came up, obviously we saw they score more runs than the placeholders. But then the placeholders became healthy and they're back playing. And again, the Pirates are struggling to score runs. But I always try to explain to them, it's not super fun to watch all the time, this season. However, there are bright spots. I think if you had asked me like a couple months ago, if I thought, that the rebuild was going well, or if this coaching staff was capable of handling this team, I would have been a little bit more skeptical than what I typically am, because it was really bad. For a little bit, and we saw the pitching really struggle, and Mitch Keller, not be able to get it together, and getting moved to the pen a little bit, and all that like shuffling around, and however, over the last like month or so, this pitching staff has been phenomenal. It's the main reason why the Pirates have won any games at all. It's kept them in ball games. So when they don't score more than two runs, there's still a chance for them. Guys like Brubaker and Mitch Keller and Zach Thompson, those guys have been great. Quintana's been solid. He last couple starts were kind of rough. Hoping he puts it back to where it was and can, regain some of that momentum, but he's still having a solid year. And then the last several starts from Bryce Wilson, I think he put himself back in the conversation for a rotation spot in the future. If you had asked me in, May or June, if I thought, he was a long-term solution, I would have said probably not. But he's bounced back, and I think that's you can attribute some of that to the coaching. Getting Mitch Keller on track is huge for this organization. I think that looking forward, if you'd asked me in May which of these starters would be in the future plans, it would have been hard to really narrow one down. You know, you could have looked at like Brubaker or Zach Thompson's been solid after some early struggles. You know, those guys back of the rotation, you know, guys, you know, moving forward. But man, they've really turned it around. And I don't know how much, like, I want to give, you know, Oscar Marine credit. Before I was ready for him to go. And with that, and then the bullpen. I mean, Bednar's had his struggles lately, but I mean, that could be attributed just to health and, you know, use. But I mean, had a good all-star appearance for what that's worth. But does the rest of that pen, you know, what they've been able to do with Will Crow, Chase DeYoung, Tyler Beatty. Tyler Beatty was a sneaky, good pickup. I liked him, you know, when he was with the Giants, but he, you know, he really struggled, and you know, he just looked like another prospect that top prospect that fizzled, and you know, the Pirates have been able to turn him into a really useful piece out in that pen. So, I think for me, the biggest bright spot to this point in the season. Is the pitching. And like I said, I don't know if I could have said that or anticipated saying that, you know, back in May. So like these guys are coming around, and what's cool. Oh, and I forgot to mention Contreras. Contreras looked good when he was up, had some rough starts, but pretty solid, and he'll be back. They're just kind of monitoring how many, you know, innings he throws, which is kind of understandable. You know, we're still recovering, you know, the league and the players are still recovering from the COVID year, you know, not really pitching a whole lot and the late start this year. You know, if you listen to, the Pirates, you know, fan forum podcast, you know, Gary and Jim like mentioned, you know, the Pirates took it really slow. And I thought that was a really good point. You know, the Pirates really nursed these starters. You know, they weren't going more than, you know, three or four innings, and you know, the pitch count was monitored pretty heavily, and now we're seeing them, you know, expand out. I mean, Brubaker's going deep in the games. Mitch Keller's gone deep in the games, 100 over 100 pitches. I mean, they just took it really slow, and maybe it's paying off. So I like what I'm seeing from the pitching staff. I think they're the stars. The offense, you know, Reynolds was terrible and then really found his groove. And then, of course, getting hurt. Who knows how long he's going to be out. You know, Brian Hayes has been up and down, but generally pretty solid. And, you know, defensively, come on. You know, you don't get too much better. I haven't seen too much better in my lifetime, you know, over there at third. He's, you know, excellent. You know, other than that, you know, you know, Sawinski, you know, with his power streak, and then he went ice cold. You know, O'Neill Cruz, first game, was just lightning in a bottle, and then having his growing pains. And this is going to happen. This is the one thing I want, you know, I really stress to people that I talk with. Like, how many prospects have come up and just set the world on fire and never cooled off? It doesn't really happen. Sure, it has. You know, Bryce Harper, you know, he's guys like that. Those are elite players. None of these guys coming up for the Pirates are, you know, that top echelon, that, you know, absolute once in a lifetime player. But they have solid guys. And if you can field a team of 9 solid guys, I mean, you're going to win a lot of ball games. And, you know, but the problem with the Pirates, you know, the downside to everything are, like I said earlier, those placeholders. I've seen enough of Yoshi. He's not good. If he hit for power at all, you know, I could see the keeping him around. But, like, at this point, you know, he doesn't even have any trade value. So, like, and that's really what they're looking for, you know, with those veteran signings, and that one's not panning out. Recently, Dan Vogelbach has been mentioned in trade rumors, and I don't know what he gets you, but I mean, if you can offload him for a decent prospect, like, you don't have to throw him away. That's like the one thing, you know, to keep in mind. Like, you don't have to dump him because he's cheap. And he has another year, and, you know, you're missing, you know, that power bat, you know, from the left-hand side. I mean, you've got guys there, you know, but in that DH role, I mean, Vogelbach makes sense. You know, if he continues to hit like he has been leading up to the deadline, I think he'll be dealt. And I don't want anything – I don't really even want just that – lottery ticket. Like, I don't want to pick up some 17-year-old. I think now, and I'll get into it a little bit here with when I talk about the draft, I think now the Pirates are looking to fill in that window of contention, you know, that 2024 window, where I think a lot of people, and I believe they'll really take that big jump forward if everything clicks. Now, everything could go down the crapper, and, you know, that would be terrible. But I mean, they've got a lot of talent in the system. They need to determine where the holes are and plug in those holes. And those holes are still pitching. You know, guys go down, with injury, guys lose it. Just bullpen arm. Look at Chris Stratton. You know, he's doesn't have it this year. Where he's been pretty solid the last couple of years. I've talked about it before. That shelf life of a reliever, you know, is really unpredictable. You know, at any point they could just not have it anymore. You know, and that's where you need to continue to build that depth. So my hope would be Vogelbach could bring in. I think best case scenario, like, you know, I saw the Mets, you know, were one of the teams mentioned, but could bring in like a guy who's, you know, in AA, AAA, some arm that either could be a back end of the rotation starter, or, you know, move to the pen. But you know, the Mets have a couple guys down there, you know, that could fit that mold. But we'll see what happens with that. I mean, everything, it's still, trade talks are going to start picking up here very soon. You know, we still have a couple weeks until the deadline. So, but other than that, those like the placeholders, you know, Marisnik came off the injury list, played pretty well, and early on, but, you know, he's not a long-term solution. I think, like, you know, and he's on a one-year deal. I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I don't know what kind of value he has. Ben Gamel needs to get hot. I think if Ben Gamel could bring back an okay return, probably similar to Vogelbach, but he needs to hit a little bit, you know, leading up to the deadline. He was solid, got hurt, came back. It's been okay since he's come back. But they need to open up that outfield because they have all those guys in AAA. And I don't know. I like Ben Gamel as a player. I would be totally fine if they don't trade him and re-sign him, you know, as your, like, fourth outfielder. But I want to see more of the young guys. Like, I want to see those guys play more. You know, there's, you know, Cal Mitchell's back up. That's good. But I want to see Swaggerty get a shot. I want to see, you know, Sawinski come back. I think he probably would benefit from some of the solid bats down there in AAA, but you know, I want to see those guys again. I'm over, you know, even though, like I said, he's been playing pretty solid since he's been back, and Marisnik, but, you know, I'm good with all that. So I mean, I think so far midseason the Pirates are doing okay, you know, considering, you know, knowing that they weren't going to go to the playoffs this year. you know, they're not the worst team in the league. You know, they need to get that offense going to stay out of that cellar. But it's I think this year's going pretty much as expected. You know, with those bright spots, with the development that we've clearly seen with the pitching staff, you know, that's been really, for me, the highlight of the season so far. So, like, the other thing that happened, you know, mid-season here is the draft. And, you know, this draft wasn't as exciting as it was last year. You know, the Pirates with the number one pick, and then being able to add in all those prep guys, you know, being able to sway, you know, Lonnie White from going to Penn State, being able to get Bubba Chandler to come in, you know, Solometa, like all those guys, like really brought in a really nice chunk of talent to the system. Braylon Bishop, another one that they were able to you know, buy away from college. The Pirates went a different route this year. And Ben Cherington, you know, said that it wasn't necessarily intentional. Their goal was to take the best players available. But he also did mention that he was really focused on filling in those gaps. And I think what we've seen in the minor league so far this year, you know, we've seen some guys struggle a little bit. The pitching, you know, hasn't, in the lower levels especially, hasn't been phenomenal. Altoona has been pretty solid overall. Tanaj Thomas has had a good year. Priester's back. He's pitching okay. Majinski's been up and down. You know, Burrows made his way up. You know, those types of guys have, you know, been okay. But, like, other than that, Luis Ortiz is another guy I really like. But other than that, like, some guys have really taken some steps back. Florencio's been terrible, which is was a, you know, considering what he did last year, was a, has been a pretty big disappointment. But those lower levels, Greensboro and Bradenton, have really struggled with pitching. So, you know, what the Pirates did was, you know, they drafted a ton of college pitching. And in theory, those guys could be slotted in already in, you know, Greensboro if you wanted to, some of them probably. Or will be in Greensboro at some point. You know, if they get them signed quickly, get them into Bradenton, you know, they some of them could move up because they're a lot of them are pretty polished. Overall, you know, I don't like giving draft grades because, you know, I don't know who most of these people are, who they draft. I read about them after they draft because, you know, there's so many players. But overall, I think the Pirates had an okay draft. You know, Tamar Johnson could be a beast. I, you know, the highlights I was able to see of him, that swing is fun. You know, he generates a lot of power on that smaller frame. You know, try him at shortstop. See what he does. I mean, he's still, you know, really young. So, you know, that could be, you know, if O'Neill Cruz doesn't pan out, and, you know, or plays well enough and they don't think they're going to be able to sign him and they deal him. You know, you've got Peguero in the wings, Bubba Chandler, who knows what happens with him. But, you know, Tamar Johnson could slot in there and he could move over to second too, which I think will probably be where he goes. But he's fun. That was a really fun first pick. That's who I really wanted them to get. I did like Collier. And I was surprised he slipped as far as he did. But Tamar Johnson, I think, was the best possible pick the Pirates could have made there. So hopefully he develops quickly would be awesome. But, you know, he's still young. You know, after that, you know, they took they took some college arms. You know, Thomas Harrington looks pretty good. I liked what I've seen of him. You know, the Hunter Barco was an interesting pick. I like Barco from what I saw, you know, and read. I think Barco was kind of a cheaper pick there because he is coming off the Tommy John. So we won't see him or, you know, any see him on a mound in any games until, you know, next year at some point. But I think sometimes with an arm like that, it's worth it. You know, and then after that, I love the two-way players. That was a, you know, he, Ben Cherington loves the two-way players, apparently, because he did pick up a couple, Jack Brannigan and Yoel Tejada. You know, he's, Tejada's more of a pitcher, but, you know, taking him in the 19th round, you know, prep kid, hopefully that's where they use all their extra money that they saved drafting all these other guys. A couple guys that in the draft that I really like that aren't pitching, Trace Gonzalez. I think that could be a really good pick for them. He hits, you know, another left-handed outfielder, college guy, so you don't won't have to really hopefully wait for him for too long. Get him, you know, start him in, you know, probably Bradenton, but hopefully he moves up quickly. But I really like his bat. And then another guy that I kind of like is Josiah Seitler, the first baseman out of South Carolina, left-handed first baseman. He's a big dude, 6'5", 234 pounds. And he hit, like, 300. It was like a dozen home runs or something like that. So, you know, he hit pretty well for South Carolina. You know, that's one area where the Pirates don't have a whole lot of talent is first base. You know, they're, you know, moving guys over there. You know, Seitler being a college guy and a senior, you know, he could just slot right into Greensboro, probably Bradenton to start with, you know, Gonzalez and, you know, they're in Greensboro. But yeah, I think like they picked some intriguing guys, and they picked a lot of guys that are going to be bullpen pieces, and that's smart. You know, with a team like the Pirates, you know, that bullpen could be your cash cow. You know, if you have just a constant flow of good relievers, you know, you can move those guys, you know, once you know, they, if they're pitching well, you know, you could say a guy like, I don't know, let's just pick Chase DeYoung. You know, he pitched pretty well. He's hurt now, but just a guy like that, for example, he's pitching well. You've got other guys pushing, you know, guys like that coming up on arbitration eligible. If they're pitching well, you can deal them, and restock, you know, get, you know, get a, find your, find a need, you know, find a team. Cause everybody needs relievers. Everybody likes good relievers. So when you hit that trade deadline or off season, really, but trade deadline, you know, I always found it was an interesting time and we to move relievers. And we saw that last year with Ben Cherington, you know, moving Austin Davis and Clay Holmes. So, you know, to have these guys coming and, you know, to build that, you know, that depth, you know, in the bullpen is smart. It's real smart. I like it. Like, that's kind of like my, where I've always been with, you know, baseball and general. It's like you have relievers. I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen, but I mean, you can move failed starters to relievers. You can develop relievers. You can pick up minor league free agent relievers that are still have some, you know, some fuel left in the tank. You know, they're around. So like for a team like the Pirates, a small market team that, you know, will constantly be sellers of some sort at the deadline. I think reliever, having a, just a stable of good relievers is smart. And that's, you know, really kind of where they went. Some of these guys may be starters, but I think the majority of them will end up, you know, pitching out of the pen. Guys like, you know, Mike Walsh and Cy Nelson and JP Massey. I like Massey as well. So another one, that Miguel Fulgencio. He's interesting. He's the one, was a really cool story. Just, played football, transferred out, played baseball at a community college, started playing in the outfield, taught himself how to pitch, and while everything was shut down, just watched YouTube videos to learn how to pitch better. And he had a really good year, 7-0 with 5 saves, 1.75 ERA, 60 Ks to 8 walks, and 46 in the third inning. Now, he's pitching in junior college, so obviously it's not, the SEC or the, College World Series, but still, those are pretty solid numbers. So, guys like that, I think they're really filling that void that we see kind of right now with, in Bradenton and Greensboro. And so, I think, next year, some of these guys, by the end of the year, may be pushing to be in the big leagues, the college guys especially. So, I like the draft. It, like I said, wasn't flashy. I was surprised they didn't go over slot. But those guys that didn't get drafted must have been just, flat out no's when it comes to wanting to forego their commitment to wherever they're going, Vanderbilt or wherever. Because that's been Charrington's MO. That was, Neil Huntington's MO was 11th round. We're going to draft some kid that should have been a first or second or third rounder. But they didn't. So that's just a sign that those guys just weren't available. But yeah, I mean, like I said, not a super flashy draft. A lot of pitching. But I mean, you can never have too much pitching. So, I mean, these guys, the Pirates are in a weird place now. They probably won't, but they could be buyers. They have the depth in their system to be buyers at the deadline. Like I said, they won't. I don't think they're not there yet. With what they have in the big leagues, I think next year, trade for some guy with controllability, but filling in the gaps, is smart. So, but yeah, overall, I like the draft. The next couple weeks are going to be interesting. With the deadline coming up. As far as trades go, I'll be for sure doing an episode about that. But I really think, I think the Pirates will be active. They don't have that big trade chip. Brian Reynolds would be the one, but with him hurt, that's going to slow that down. That's not going to happen. Bednar would be another one. I'm 50-50 that Bednar will be traded. I think the only thing that kind of holds them back a little bit on him is that, he is controllable and he's, kind of a fan favorite because he's a local kid. But I mean, if somebody calls and gives them the right offer, like Yerry De Los Santos has been good. The rest of that pen's been, Will Crow's been good. I mean, the rest of that pen's been solid. So, I mean, there's replacements there. But I 50-50, but I would probably lean towards not. But like other guys, I wouldn't be surprised another pen piece moves. I'd like to see them get something out of Stratton. I don't think that's going to happen with the year he's having unless he just pitches lights out for the next week or so. I could see maybe, if he didn't get hurt, I thought Chase DeYoung was an interesting, trade piece. But I don't know. I don't know how much, I think that, Vogelback will definitely be talked about. I think Kevin Newman will draw some interest. I don't know what kind of return they get for him. But I think at this point, with the other guys, coming up, I think that if somebody wants him, they can have him. You know, other than, you know, the other guys, Gamel, I think, could be traded. But, I mean, the one thing that, one interesting thing to watch, and I see it mentioned on Twitter quite a bit, is the fact that Jiwon Bae isn't up. And with how he's been hitting in AAA and everybody else, you know, moving up and, you know, moving back down, like Marcano and guys like that, you know, where does Bae stand with this organization? And, you know, he has that tarnished reputation, you know, from, you know, the domestic violence thing. And, you know, are the Pirates, what they could do is if somebody wants, let's say a team like the Blue Jays call and say, hey, what do you guys want for, you know, Jose Quintana? And the Pirates, you know, say, well, what about, you know, Gabriel Moreno? Obviously, number one prospect, probably not going to trade him. But, like, I'm just for instance, Jays are probably going to say no to that. But they say, what if we throw in Jiwon Bae? I think Jiwon Bae will act like a, you know, a trade buffer to throw in with someone. Now, you know, I don't think that Moreno would, that would be all it would take to get Moreno, and the Pirates could just, you know, ante up and say, hey, yeah, we'll throw in somebody else, Tanaj Thomas or somebody like that. The Pirates are going to have and are going to have roster issues and being able to protect all these players. You know, there's so many that they didn't put on their 40-man last year. If they want them, they're going to have to add them this year to avoid the Rule 5, because the Rule 5 is most likely going to happen this year. And there'll be more guys added to that list of people that they need to protect. And so I wouldn't be shocked if some of those guys were dealt. I would say similar trades to what they did last year, you know, when the Anderson deal fell through with Philly and they went and got, you know, Abraham Gutierrez anyway by trading them, you know, Brandon Ogle. So, you know, you see those little deals, like an upper-level guy who might be okay traded for, you know, a lower-level guy, you know, just flops, like, you know, flips like that. I think we might see a couple of those too. So next couple of weeks are going to be interesting. I don't like the All-Star break because there's no baseball. The All-Star game, I used to love it as a kid, but I think, you know, somebody on Twitter, and I wish I remember who, said that, you know, I loved it as a kid, but now, I think it was Gary Morgan, loved it as a kid, but now it's, you know, I see all these guys. I liked it as a kid because that was the only time I got to see whoever. And so, I haven't watched one the whole way through in a couple years. This one was no different. I made it a few innings, and they're just kind of boring. You know, because you don't have a whole lot. And I think it's probably because there's not a whole lot of Pirates in it for me, too. But yeah, I mean, I got to introduce my son to it. He watched a couple innings with me, but then went to bed. He thought that was cool. He got to see all these other players. So yeah. You know, I'm ready for baseball to come back. You know, continue to see how the rest of the season plays out. So that's the episode for today. You know, hope there shouldn't be as big a gap this next one, because the deadline's coming and trade talks are going to pick up. And that's, I'd love to get to the day when the Pirates aren't, you know, constantly sellers, where they're actually looking to buy. But I love trades. You know, I always have. They're interesting. They're exciting. You know, new players are sad. They're just an emotional roller coaster at times. So, but, you know, that's coming up. So I'm sure, you know, I'll be chiming in on those. But I appreciate you listening. Thanks for tuning in today. Check me out on social media at Bucko Fever Pod on Twitter. Buckle Fever Podcast on Facebook, and of course BuckleFeverPodcast.com. You know, again, appreciate everybody tuning in, and you know, have a good one.